Welcome to another edition of Community Tides with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. On alternate Fridays, during the noon hour, we meet to discuss new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal as we roll into the months ahead. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Nice to be with you.
Well, the Chimicum people who lived in the Chimicum Creek watershed have been widely considered extinct and written out of history. In fact, there are many Chimicum descendants. They hold a family gathering each summer to honor the lives and history of their people. One of those descendants has a very special dream that is slowly becoming a reality. Her name is Naomi Kranke, and she's here to tell us more. And the League of Extraordinary Observers, or LEO, LEO, have become allies to the Chimicum people, and they were invited to photograph the families in a special exhibit of these special photographs that was unveiled at Chimicum High School yesterday, as a matter of fact. The exhibit will also be open for public viewing on April 23rd and May 28th from 12 to 2 p.m. And two of LEO's prime movers for this exhibit are here with us today. Carrie Tremaine is a photographer, designer, editor, and writer, and he's design director and president emeritus of Northwind Art. And Brian Goodman has been making photographs for over 50 years. His work can be seen in gallery shows and exhibits across the country, and he's a board member of Northwind Art. Naomi, Carrie, and Brian, welcome to Community Tides.
Thank you.
So, Naomi, I'm very curious. I want to know your family history. I want to introduce yourself in the traditional way. But also, I want to know what that mantra was that you heard growing up about the Chimicum people being extinct and no longer around. And how did that affect you as a person growing up?
I'm Naomi Kranke. I'm a Chimicum descent. I went to school at Chimicum Elementary School and part of high school. I lived in the area off and on throughout my life. My mother's great-grandfather was Chum, and my father's family are Quileute, and lived at the mouth of Chimicum Creek for a very long time. And my grandparents lived there and had great hopes of seeing more of a Chimicum footprint in the area and to change the narrative that are extinct.
You said yesterday that one night you dreamed about a longhouse for the community. For our listeners that may not be familiar with a longhouse, describe the longhouse, its use, and its meaning for our listeners.
Traditionally, the indigenous people in this area lived in longhouses or plank houses, which were long, shorter homes, made of cedar planks, and there used to be many longhouses here. And actually, after settlers were here, it was recorded that there were 38 longhouses in Portland from Point Hudson to Point Wilson, and of those 30 longhouses, 18 of them were Chimicum. There were many Chimicum still here after the massacre that happened and after settlers have arrived. So I would love to have one in our community as learning cultural center where people come and learn history, learn about not just the Chim people, but local tribes, the foods they ate, plants they used as medicine, loved one on the water. So maybe canoe journey could land, and that's my goal.
Naomi, how can our community support your efforts in terms of the longhouse?
By spreading the word, helping to raise money to purchase land that we had found in Chimicum, on Chimicum Creek. I've started a collaboration with my good friend Chastity to purchase 10 acres on Chimicum Creek with beautiful sacred springs. And I think it would be the perfect space for a longhouse and a community space where people could come and learn and enjoy being near the creek, experience the healing springs, And I would need help with purchasing the land and help with building the longhouse.
How can people make donations? Where do they actually go? A website or?
There is a website for it, and the website is savechimicumsprings.org. There is also a link at Finn River's website online, and there is also a GoFundMe called Longhouse for the People. So any three of those ways would be a great way to donate money.
And tell us a little bit about what this photography exhibit has meant to you and to our other Chimicum hosts.
It has meant the world to just get us out there and recognized, and to change the narrative that we're extinct in the community is just golden. I'm so happy about it. And I think it's great to have it at the school so children can learn about the people and see that we are still here in the community. And I think that will change the narrative that we're extinct. So I'm so thankful that the photos were taken and all the help that Leo has done for us and all the groups, the Chimicum group, everything. I'm so thankful.
Carrie and Brian, I'm going to bring you into the picture here, because how did you both become involved in the portrait project, and why did you do it?
Well, I can't remember exactly how I learned about the Chimicum History Group, which Naomi referred to. It's part of the Native Connections Action Group at the Quimper Unitarian Universalist or Universalist Unitarian Fellowship that was also behind the building of the Chichmahan Trail that many people are familiar with in town. So I started attending those meetings, and very on, it just seemed obvious to me that if you have people that feel as if they're disappeared, there's nothing like a photograph to make them appear. So, you know, it just seemed like an obvious thing to do. And I offered it to the group. People were enthusiastic about it from the beginning. And then the family generously invited us to H.J. Carroll Park for their family reunion last summer. And Brian, with our help, set up an outdoor studio where we took the portrait. So it was just and I have to just say that last night we had, by one friend's estimate, almost 300 people that turned out to Chimicum High School to see this. It was a wonderful event. We had, for those who don't know, you know, the Quileute and the Chimicum are related people. We had a Quileute singer come over from La Push last night who did a song. That was a very special moment. And it was just an extraordinary event. These prints are, you know, over 5 feet tall. They're hanging from the beams in Chimicum High School. And I hope people get a chance to get to see them. If not, we also produced a book, and which is called Still Here. And if you go to leophoto.org, leophoto.org, there's information there about the book and even a link to how to purchase it.
And Brian, I'm going to ask you a little bit about your personal journey in coming to be involved in this project.
I've been a commercial photographer for a large portion of my professional life. And when Carrie asked if I would be interested in doing these portraits, I immediately said yes. It was a huge honor for me to do this for the family, and I wasn't sure how they were going to turn out. It's always a little bit iffy when you're in a situation like that out in a park, but I was really, really happy with the results, and I think the family was too.
Naomi, how many people are currently in the Chimicum family? Can you tell us about the community as it is today?
I'm not quite sure how many Chimicum people are still with us. I know that I have a very large family, well over 100, and I know a few other people in the community who are Chimicum as well, some of which I were hoping would have showed up yesterday, but didn't. So if I had to take an estimate, I would say over 200.
Quite a handful. But it's minuscule in comparison to comprise the numbers that comprise the Chimicum people at one point in history. Can you give us some background about that?
Well, I think there were a lot of Chimicum at different points in history that lived in this area and really flourished. Such beautiful waters here and land that they had quite a wide spread of territory from near Port Ludlow all the way to Port Townsend, Discovery Bay. Port Townsend was their spring fishing village. So I think they were at one time really great in numbers, and due to, I think, such wonderful fishing grounds, they were kind of at war with other tribes over the land. And after two massacres and disease from settlers coming and being displaced after settlers were here, they were forcibly removed from Port Townsend, and then their longhouses were burned and they were sent to other reservations. Not everybody decided to go to a different reservation. They decided to just stay in the area or outlying areas and around Kai Tai Lagoon. So a lot of Chimicum are still here, enrolled at different tribes. And then there's a lot of people still living in our community that are descendants of the remaining Chimicum people.
There was a lot of intermarriage between tribes, both down here and then on the peninsula and then up into Canada as well. We have a few minutes left. I have a question. Well, first of all, about the League of Extraordinary Observers. Who are they? And there's more than just the two of you that were involved in this project in the background.
Well, I like to call us geezer photographers. We're all people who have had some kind of history with photography. And we noticed that we had this joint interest in photographing nature. So the original idea was to support a lot of the environmental restoration projects around the peninsula. So we've done work for Jefferson Land Trust and the Northwest Wetlands Institute, and others have used our photographs and materials. And then this opportunity came along, and it really, I think, you know, expanded our sense of what restoration meant, that it wasn't just about land and resources. It was also about people and culture. It's not a large group. There's only about a half a dozen of us. Tim Lawson and Robert Tognoli helped that day at the park. And Robert actually has an interesting project coming up. He's been doing a long-term project on the farmers of Chimicum Valley, and we hope to launch that in the fall, possibly also at Chimicum High School.
Well, we have just a minute left, and I would like the three of you to, first of all, I would like both photographers here to give me the most important thing to you about being a good photographer. What is it? What's the magic sauce there?
Wow, I don't even know how to answer that.
Editing.
editing, just seeing. And it's, I've learned that over the years, and being able to see things that a lot of people pass by every day but don't recognize. So
I would also add, just from my own experiences, that it's a matter of gaining trust. The people that you are photographing, and sometimes that takes some time.
We were so welcomed by the family. It was an incredibly gratifying experience for us to be out there. And one of the Chimicum descendants, Ron Meyer, who's nearly 80 years old, spent an hour like helping us haul equipment back and forth. It was amazing. It was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah. And Naomi, your parting words about how you felt yesterday when you saw those portraits hanging on the wall and all of those family and allies sitting in the same room together.
I really feel my whole family and I felt very loved and seen by our community. And that really means a lot to all of us. To have that recognition was really more than we could have hoped for.
Well, we could talk more and more and more about this, but we only had a little 20-minute slot right here, but that doesn't mean we won't have you back. Chimicum people, Naomi Krenke, who has a dream of building a longhouse in the Chimicum Creek watershed. And Kerry Tremaine, photographer, designer, editor, writer, design director for President Emeritus, Northwind Art, and Brian Goodman, been making photographs for over 50 years. We want to thank you both, all and every three of you, for joining us here on Community Tides. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Right. Thank you very much.